We're continuing our series on the book of Acts. This week we're up to chapter 18. And we're going to see some interesting and important things that happen as Paul continues in faith, spreading the gospel. In this chapter, we'll see how God leads those who follow him. In verse 1, we're told that Paul has left Athens. That's what we heard about last week, was Paul in Athens. And he's come to Corinth. Now, they're only geographically apart about 80 kilometres, but they were very different cities. Athens was noted for its culture and learning, and Corinth for its commerce and its immorality. It was a centre for the worship of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Corinthians weren't held in high regard. A Greek writer of that time said that when a Corinthian was portrayed in a play, he was always shown as being drunk. Paul has arrived in Corinth by himself and he needs to financially support himself. We tend to think of Paul as being like the hero from an Action Man movie. The one that gets like bashed up incredibly, like gets, you know, all these people attack him and he's down, he's incredibly bashed up, and then he gets up and he kind of like shrugs it off, you know, brushes it off and gets back into being exactly the same as he was and managing to overcome everyone that attacks him. You know, any challenge that comes against him, he can fight off really easily. We some sort of can think that Paul has some sort of superhuman strength that the rest of us don't have. But that wasn't how Paul was feeling when he came to Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 2:3, he writes about this. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. That's hardly the picture we expect of Paul. Paul is human and the challenges he faces affect him. In the previous chapters, his plans had been overruled by God. He tried to go to two different places, but each time God had stopped him. And then in a vision, God told him to go to Macedonia. But even though he was clearly sent there by God, it hadn't been smooth sailing when he got there. It hadn't been an easy trip. In Philippi, Paul and Silas were falsely accused, unjustly beaten, and thrown into jail. While that had a great result for the gospel with the Philippian jailer and his family being saved, Paul still suffered harsh physical injuries. Then he had to flee from the next two towns because the Jews tried to attack him when he was there. When he came to Athens, he was met with ridicule, questioning, and only a few people responded to the gospel. Paul comes to Corinth. Alone, fearful, weak, he's probably still suffering from the injuries that he suffered in Philippi. And he's anxiously waiting for Timothy and Silas to join him there. They'd stayed behind and he's waiting for them to come and bring him some news and some help. He needs to support himself instead of being able to devote himself full time to preaching the gospel. Instead of giving up, which might have seemed reasonable in the circumstances, or even just taking a break, just waiting for the others to come, thinking, well, I can't do much till they get here. I need them helping and I need the support that they'll bring. He doesn't do that. He looks to God to see what God wants him to do. All of us, no matter how strong we are, will have times when the challenges and work that God puts before us seem too hard. It's good to take a break, to have a rest, to do something different when feeling like this. It's important to rest, to stop, to just recover, to take some time away. But that's not always possible. And it's not always what God wants us to do. There are times when God tells us to stop, to rest, to cut back. But other times we see we have to push through. We have to persevere. We have to keep going, having confidence that God is going before us. This is what we see here with Paul. Paul knew he was to keep going, keep preaching the gospel, keep facing opposition and indifference as well as great results. While Paul hasn't realized it when he first comes to Corinth, God has gone before him and provided what he needs. Let's look at Acts 18, verses 2 to 4. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade the Jews and Greeks. Here we see that Paul meets some other Jews in Corinth, a husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers, having come to Corinth because Emperor Claudius had expelled all the Jews from Rome. As Paul is a tent maker by trade, he joins up with them. He both works and lives with them. Although the passage doesn't say this, the general consensus across all the commentators and writers is that Aquila and Priscilla were not Christians when they came to Corinth, but that Paul led them to the Lord. Let's look at how God worked in Paul and in his circumstances as Paul doesn't give up. We've seen he comes to Corinth worn out, fearful. He's on his own. So God provides in that city a Jewish couple who just happened to be there because they were forced to leave where they had been living. Paul needs to earn some money, and it just happens that this couple were tent makers like Paul, and they were willing for him to join them and live with them. Paul now has provision and opportunity. It just happens that this couple were open to the gospel, so Paul is able to lead them to the Lord and can now share the great things that God has done and is doing as they work together. He has fellowship, people to help and encourage him, to pray and share the burden of the call that God has placed on Paul's life as they live and work together. So often in life, it seems that things just happen. Often it's not what we expected or planned. Paul didn't intend to be in Corinth when he set out on his missionary journey and to need help and support when he was there. But God had provided what he did need in the place where God wanted him to be. As we look at our lives and at things that just seem to have happened, we can see God at work, leading, providing, guiding, helping us so that we are in the right place, doing the things that God wants us to do. God can make things just happen in our lives as we continue in faith to obey him. In the midst of difficulties, God will bring alongside us people who are able to help and encourage us. Paul didn't have Silas and Timothy with him in Corinth as he would have expected, but instead God brings others to Paul, people who would be influential in the spread of the gospel. Paul could have felt that this was too hard. He'd suffered too much. God wasn't looking after him, otherwise things would have gone more smoothly. That he wouldn't have had to flee places, he wouldn't have been mistreated. He would have had provision and help. Yet if Paul hadn't needed to work, hadn't needed to find people to be with, it's possible he would not have developed such a strong connection with Aquila and Priscilla. Living in their house, working alongside them every day, gave him the opportunity to share the gospel, to build and strengthen them in their newfound faith, so that they were able to become strong evangelists. We see from other writings of Paul that this couple are important in his life. They go with Paul to Ephesus and they have a church in their home there. In Romans 16, Paul says that they risked their lives for his sake and that they were appreciated by all the Gentile churches. We see later in this chapter that they have a big impact on another person who also becomes influential in sharing the gospel. When Paul came to Corinth, things were not going the way he would have chosen. Yet in those circumstances, Paul could see the truth of what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God keeps working in Paul's life and circumstances as Paul faithfully follows him. Silas and Timothy arrive, bringing with them both positive news about the churches in Macedonia and generous financial support for Paul from Philippi. So he's now able to devote himself to preaching the gospel full time. It's still not smooth going for Paul. Again, the Jews oppose him as he declares that Jesus is the Christ. And their opposition is strong. They don't physically attack him, it seems, but it says they opposed and reviled him. They insulted and abused him, and they blasphemed God. Paul isn't interested in people who were totally opposed, who were unwilling to even listen to what he was saying. The Jews should have known and received Jesus. But when they weren't willing to, Paul isn't going to waste his time. He warns them, then goes to preach to the Gentiles who are more receptive. Even though many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized, it seems that Paul is still fearful and uncertain. He doesn't know about the future. He was probably wondering whether he would be attacked again, whether he was going to have to flee Corinth like he'd had to flee so many other places. God reassures and encourages him, this time directly. Acts 18:9-11. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This was the encouragement that Paul needed. God knew how Paul was feeling, and instead of criticizing him for his weakness, God lifts him up. God could have said, "I've already given you so much. You have people to help and support you. You have the financial help that you need. You are seeing others respond to the gospel. Why are you fearful and doubting?" Instead, God says to him, "Keep on doing what you have been doing. I am with you. You are safe. And there are people here that need to hear the gospel. Don't doubt. Don't be uncertain. Just stay here. Keep faithfully serving me in this place." There are times in all of our lives when we start to doubt. We start to wonder if we're doing the right thing. Are we in the right place? Are we spending our time and energy on the right things? God will make it clear to us if we seek him. It's not wrong to tell God that we're struggling, that we are doubting or fearful. God cares for us. He will comfort, reassure, and strengthen us. Sometimes we do have to make a change, like we see with Paul leaving previous cities and even leaving preaching to the Jews. There are other times when we need to sow ourselves into where we are and what we are doing, like God told Paul to do here in Corinth. We need to look for God's leading, God's instruction. Listen to his voice through his word, through the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he's saying. He will reassure, he will encourage, he will direct and guide us. He encourages us when we are weak. We need to be like Paul, continuing in faith, obeying God. Paul received this reassurance as he was faithfully doing what God had told him to do. He didn't stop what he was doing. He didn't stop and go, "Well, unless God tells me more clearly, or unless I feel more confident, or unless I'm, you know, really sure that this is right." He kept on doing it. And in the midst of that, as he was obeying God and doing what God said, God gave him that encouragement. God reassured him. God strengthened him. Paul didn't let his fear and uncertainty stop him. He didn't demand that God show him the future before he was willing to invest himself in God's work. During this time, the Jews try to attack Paul in a different way. And this has a significant outcome, as it involved a really important decision. It really was a decision that was going to affect the future spread of the gospel. Instead of taking matters into their own hands, the Jews have probably realised that wasn't actually working that well, they decide to involve the Roman proconsul and make a legal argument to stop Paul. Acts 18:12-13. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." The Roman Empire had a list of officially approved religions, of which Judaism was one. These Jews were claiming that Paul wasn't teaching Judaism, but a different religion, one that wasn't permitted under Roman law. If the proconsul accepted this argument, then Paul's ability to preach the gospel would be severely restricted because he would be breaking the law. This would set a precedent for other Roman governors to follow. Acts 18:14-15. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourself. I refuse to be a judge of these things." As we see, Paul didn't even need to defend himself. Again, God has gone before. And this Roman official isn't interested in the Jews' argument. He's willing to rule on a matter where a crime has been committed, where there's a breach of the law. But he sees this as an argument by the Jews about their own religion. As far as he is concerned, Christianity comes under Judaism. Paul was simply teaching a different form of that religion, not a different religion. In that situation, there was nothing for him to rule on. There was no violation of the Roman law. It was a major victory for Paul and the spread of the gospel. The proconsul has now ruled that Christianity is also an official religion. It now meant that Paul was legally allowed to preach it, and it sets a precedent for other areas of the Roman Empire. The Jews' move has backfired incredibly badly. Rather than having Christianity banned, it's been declared legal. God has again acted in circumstances that look dangerous to bring about an amazing result. Paul could have tried to leave Corinth when the Jews first started this, but he held firm to what God had said to him in that vision. As God had promised, he wasn't harmed, and God brought good out of the evil that the Jews planned. Now, this is where there's an interesting twist. The Jews are furious with this decision, so they attack the synagogue ruler Sosthenes. The previous one had become a Christian under Paul's preaching, so this man had taken over. He was responsible for bringing this case before the Roman governor. So when the matter was so conclusively thrown out of court, the Jews turned their rage onto him. Then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul mentions who is with him as he writes this letter to the Corinthian church. And he says that it is our brother Sosthenes. It's extremely likely that this is the same man. The same person who tried to stop Paul sharing the gospel is now with Paul, helping him to spread the gospel. God has turned around the situation again and brought change, brought good out of evil. Finally, Paul leaves Corinth and continues his travels. Aquila and Priscilla travel with him to Ephesus, where they stay while Paul keeps going. At the end of that chapter, we see the impact they have on another believer in that city. Acts 18:24-28. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Apollos was enthusiastic and articulate. He knew the scriptures and he wanted to share the good news of God. He was willing to be bold, to face any opposition. But his knowledge is lacking. While he knows some things, he doesn't completely understand the gospel. Priscilla and Aquila hear him speak and realise the shortcomings. And here's a good lesson in what they do. There's a good lesson here for us in what they do. They don't challenge him publicly. They don't point out in front of others his mistakes. They don't tell him he should be quiet until he knows or understands more, or that he should leave it to them because they're the experts. Instead, with grace and in peace, they take him aside and teach him. They recognise the gift that God has placed in Apollos. They see he needs to learn just as they needed to learn when they first met Paul. So they spend their time and energy. They give of themselves to make sure Apollos is fully equipped. Apollos is teachable. He listens to them. He's ready to learn, to be more effective, which is what happens. We see the ongoing effects of the gospel as people are willing to obey God. Paul teaches Aquila and Priscilla, who in turn teach Apollos, who shares the gospel with others. The gospel is being spread just as Jesus told his followers to do. Let's recap what we've learned from this chapter. We see how God goes before us and is able to make things just seem to just happen in our lives. Often it's when our plans haven't worked out or we're unsure what to do, and then suddenly just something just seems to happen. And then we realise it's actually the hand of God, that God is the one who is making something just happen. God works out his plans and purposes, and we are called to continue in faith and obedience, seeing what he has prepared for us. We see how God can work through other people to provide what we need. We're not called to struggle through by ourselves. We need to look out for those around us who can help, support, and encourage, and that we in turn can help, support, and encourage them as well. God will encourage us too. God will speak to us directly. We're to listen for the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts, for God's word to have an impact in our life, because God will speak to us and encourage us and lead us. We're to be confident that God can and will turn around situations that seem disastrous, but instead become for his glory. We need to continue to trust and obey him and to move forward in faith, just trusting that he will work in the situation, that he will turn things around. We see the impact that it is had as people faithfully share the gospel, and also in grace and truth, encourage and teach and help other people as well. We're to be willing to learn and to teach others, to do this with grace, humility, and understanding, seeking to bring glory to God. And as we do these things, as we've seen these things in this chapter, and as we put them into practice in our lives, we will see situations turned around. We'll see lives changed. We will see God glorified and his kingdom grow. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you teach us through your word, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will take these words, Lord God, and speak into our hearts so that we know that how you want us to move forward in faith, Lord. That despite how we're feeling, despite the difficulties we see, that we will see you working in our lives and in our situations, Lord God. That we will know that you can make things just seem to happen, Lord, in our lives. That you will turn situations around, that you will bring good out of evil, Lord God, and that you will be with us no matter what, and that you call us to trust, to obey, to just live in faith, to work in faith, to just be so filled with the faith that comes from knowing you and doing your will, Lord God. Amen.